So we really can't do Father's Day effectively without a few dad jokes, right? Right? Now I worked really hard. I want you to know right up front that I worked really hard to carefully select and curate only the finest for Father's Day here this morning. Okay? So just want you to know that right up front. How many stormtroopers does it take to change a light bulb? None, because they're all on the dark side. That was good. Come on, you know that was good, right? Yeah, okay. The owner of a tuxedo store kept hovering over me when I was browsing one day. So I asked him to leave me alone, and he said, fine, suit yourself. Why do people who live in the land of Greece hate waking up at dawn? Because dawn is tough on Greece. Some of you will get that in a few moments. I know you will. See, I told you only the finest for Father's Day. Right? We tend to categorize dad types, right? We categorize. So what was or is your dad's style? What was or is your dad's style? How many of you know a fix-it, hands-on tool guy kind of dad? How many of you? Fix-it, hands-on. Okay, all right. How about sports fanatic dads? Like really, really crazy, either golfing or football or OSU Buckeyes or, you know, one of those highly, highly motivated sports fanatic dads. How about all business, hang with the suits and ties type? Any of you? No, a business, big time business guy? How about research lab dads? You know a lab dad? Just own it. Yeah. Just say, okay, yep. I know one of those. Yep. Married to one. Got one as a dad. IT dudes. An IT dad? Yeah. It's the geek squad. I know. It's okay. Yeah. How about live in the woods, hunting fish fathers? Anybody? Yeah. Live in the woods, hunting fish. Very cool. How about weekend warrior, garden yard project papas? The kind that bring their blower to church. You know, watch out. If you don't stay awake today, Gary, I'll get you, okay? Yeah. Gary's always awake. He's always awake, yeah. Types of dads, right? How about, just admit it, some dads, they're just pros that slouch on the couch. You know, watch a movie, hang out. What about just super cool dads? Yeah, there's those kind. Now, if we're honest, most dads are a blend, right? A unique blend of dad. Here's today's key theme. We're going to walk with this, and I want to just give it to you right up front so you don't miss it. We celebrate dads centered in King Jesus. We celebrate dads centered in King Jesus. Amidst all the hats dads wear, the energy they exude, expectations they aim to fulfill, dads can feel deflated, underrated, and underappreciated. It can happen. In fact, this month of June, delivers us Father's Day and also a call for greater awareness about men's health, right? You've probably seen the ads or heard it on a podcast you've listened to this month about this focus on men's health, mental health, physical health. Health and wellness experts note there are a number of factors that can put men at increased risk in terms of their health, mental and physical overall. Including work stress. Men are often employed in high stress jobs and work long hours. And this can lead to burnout and depression and anxiety. And there can be big financial woes. Not always, but men are often primary breadwinners for their families. Not always, but often. And they're also then more likely to be more often unemployed or underemployed. That's just the math. That's the stats. That's how it often works. And this can lead to cycles of financial stress and anxiety loops, triggering then health problems. And then there is the reality of toxic masculinity. Now, masculinity is good. It is great indeed. And traditional gender roles, good and solid as we might think they are, they often dictate that men should always be strong, silent, self-sufficient. And this can make it difficult then for guys, for us to express our emotions and seek help when we need it. And so it can prove toxic. Something very, very good, like masculinity, can prove toxic. And substance abuse. Studies show men are more likely to abuse alcohol and drugs. The studies just show it. Guys, not trying to beat you up. That's not a great big indictment on you today. It's just a reality. The studies show it. And that obviously worsens mental and physical health problems. Here's why intentionally noticing solid examples, great traits, and then praising and saying thanks more often can prove so uplifting, encouraging. And guys need encouragement big time. So let's do exactly that together. Next few minutes, that's my bold aim for us. Nothing more, nothing less. There's a dad in the Bible who is not typically talked about on Father's Day. In planning for today, I actually realized I've never mentioned this dad on Dad's Day in church. In all my years of pastoring, I've never have mentioned this dad on Dad's Day. Actually, he's seldom talked about. When he is mentioned, it's Advent season, and he plays second fiddle to just about everybody else in the story. Let's sample some story scenes and joyously encounter four fabulous father traits to celebrate and emulate. Four fabulous father traits to celebrate and emulate. We celebrate dads centered in King Jesus. Start of this dad story, Matthew chapter 1. I invite you there. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. God's word says, this is how Jesus, the anointed king, that's the meaning of Messiah, the anointed king was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Listen to how the story continues. Verse 20. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22 says, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. Here's the first fabulous father trait worth celebrating and emulating. Focus on Jesus, his mission, vanquish fear. Focus on Jesus, his mission, vanquish fear. What God calls Joseph to do is stunning. Mary's child would be miraculous, conceived by the Holy Spirit. But who's going to really believe that? A gossip would fly. Back then, present-day propriety for them allowed for a mostly private, quiet breaking with the betrothal, which is what Joseph considered doing. The angelic messenger told Joseph, move ahead, join God's mission, marry Mary, name the baby Jesus. Why? He will save people from their sins and fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. The whole push, the whole thrust, the whole prophetic momentum toward King Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one coming. Joseph, you're in on this. Come on, get with it. Let's go. Shake off fear. Vanquish your fears. Join the mission. So what's Joseph do? He shakes off fear and he focuses on Jesus and he joins the royal kingly mission. When have you seen your own dad or granddad vanquish fear, focus faith in King Jesus, his mission? When have you seen that? How about times you've seen him faithfully obey and follow God's way in a real challenging situation? Today and in the coming days, snag opportunities to say, thank you, great job, well done, Dad. Thank you, great job, well done, Dad. Way to go, sure do appreciate you. As you honor dads and granddads today, reflect and celebrate such Joseph-like, Jesus-centered focus. How about another dad joke or two? Ocean theme this time. Some of you are smiling. I can tell you like these deep down. I can tell. What's a shark's favorite saying? Man overboard! I know, that's a little dark, right? I know, yeah. What do mermaids use to wash their fins? Tide. Go ahead, you can groan at that one. Go ahead. Let's see another trait of fantastic fathers. Another trait, we celebrate dads centered in King Jesus. Jump to Matthew 2. Jump one chapter over, verse 13. We pick up the story. Matthew 2, verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up. Flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Clash of kings. Clash of power. Wow. The story continues, verse 14. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. And they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Now, you're catching the Matthew's penchant for detail? He's taking notes. He's comparing. He's cross-referencing with the ancient prophecies. He is a dude with an eye on detail when it comes to proclaiming the good news, this gospel message. It's Matthew style. He says, this fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. Verse 16, Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem. Clash of kings, clash of kingdoms. Verse 19 says, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up. Notice the repetition. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up, verse 21, returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Now, you got to love the just human side of Joseph. As great as he was as a dad, he has his fearful moments, and so he's afraid again. Then after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said, he will be called a Nazarene. We celebrate dads. We celebrate dads centered in King Jesus. Here's the second fabulous father trait to celebrate and emulate. Tune in. Listen close, get moving, protect your family from evil. Tune in, listen close, get moving, protect your family from evil. Horrific threats right here. Indeed, clash of kingdoms. King Herod felt threatened by the baby King Jesus. Stunning, isn't it? How would-be power likes to flex and fuss and oppose the humble Jesus way. So the enemy aimed to do in the Christ child, but Joseph, Father Joseph was tuned in, listening readily, catching God the Father's directions. Fabulous fathers are not perfect. No dads are perfect. Just ask my three sons. But they have their hearts and their hands and their feet in the game spiritually, so they're listening and they're really tuned in and they're action-oriented. They speak up and they step up and they mobilize. They get moving both physically and spiritually, so their family is protected and living in step with Father God's priorities, plans, and divinely appointed places. Father says, get moving, and Jesus' earthly father gets moving. Again, where can you see your own dad? Where can you see your own dad or granddad living with such a bold, tuned-in, protective posture? Celebrate them. Emulate them. Before you leave here today, I challenge you, warmly invite you, even before you leave this building today, boldly say, if they're here with you, boldly say to them, thank you, dad or granddad, thank you. And say why, fill in the blank. If they're not here with you, call them or text them. I challenge you, make a point. Call them, text them, or pray thanks upward to your heavenly father. If they're already in heaven, pray thanks upward to your heavenly father, aiming to emulate, listen yourself for the Lord's direction. Be bold, be courageous, get up, move with courage. Now, over in Luke's account, right after Jesus' birth, jump over to Luke's gospel. Right after Jesus' birth, we read in Luke 2, verse 21. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Note especially verses 22 through 24. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Warners, did you bring the turtle doves or pigeons today? No. But this is an example, an echo for us of why we dedicate little ones and families to the Lord. And there's so much wonderful that goes on right here. It's incredible to see what transpires. Mary and Joseph were careful. Did you notice? They were careful to know and follow God's instructions. Plus, gather with others for influential blessing. Catch verse 25 and following. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the king, the Messiah, to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. It had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's anointed king, the Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby, Jesus, to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. And then verse 33 says, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Verse 36, we meet Anna. Anna, another prophetic influencer, another prophet who spoke joyous blessing that day along with Simeon. What a scene. Verse 38, she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. And she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. We celebrate dads centered in King Jesus. We celebrate dads centered in King Jesus. Here's another father trait to celebrate and emulate. Dedicate your family, gather others for good influence. Dedicate your family, gather others for good influence. This happened, did you notice it? In the temple, in community. Belonging in the bigger family of God. If you've got a dad or granddad who has taken you to church faithfully and put you in the blessed circle with others, this circle of belonging, this circle of influence with others, thank them profusely. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. My dad and mom did that. Now, if that's not happened in your life, it's okay to own that and grieve that. But don't stay stuck in blame games or grief. If we're not careful, the enemy whispers a lie in our ears and keeps us stuck right there. Don't stay stuck there. Let it go. Let it go, truly. And determine that you will emulate what's different. Determine it from this day forward with new patterns of faithful involvement for your family in God's family. One of the exciting things I see happening right here in our mix across the last months and the last year really is just more and more of you getting into regular rhythms and patterns of saying, we're dedicated like that. We are committed like that. We're going to be in this circle of belonging, this circle of family influence. Why? We're better together. We are better together. And your family is strengthened more and more by ongoing dedication in the circle of belonging with godly influencers. And it's a circle that begins with Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Our triune God, it's that circle of belonging. And then the beauty and the wonder is that they open the circle so that we get in on that circle of belonging. The family of God, the family of our Heavenly Father, we're better together. One more father trait worthy of celebrating and emulating. One more. But first, just a couple more dad jokes. You wanted some more, I know you did. Why do melons have weddings? They cantaloupe. What did the bison say to his son when he left the ranch? Bye, son. That's a good one, isn't it? Yeah. Further lines in Luke 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 39. We read, when Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. Now, this is fascinating. Sometimes we tend to think, well, Jesus, Son of God, you know, he arrived here on earth all baked already, everything's set, everything good, right? I mean, perfect, Son of God, perfect. Well, he was indeed perfect. But there were these developmental things that happened through his family, through his earthly father, earthly mother, this community of faith around him. There were developmental things that happened even in Jesus. Fascinating to realize. He grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom. In other words, there was this further input that went into his life, and God's favor was on him. The story continues, verse 41. Every year, now this gets interesting and more than a little humorous, like in fact, even way better than the dad jokes you've been hearing. Watch what happens. Child grew up healthy and strong. Verse 41, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Verse 42, when Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first. Apparently they assumed he's hanging with cousins. He's hanging out with other friends. Verse 44, because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. Now, some of you have heard me say this before, but in case you haven't, I've always wondered, how do you lose the Son of God? Then, when I wonder that, I recall times I got lost. I was about three and a half years old. Went to a fabric store one day with my mother. I got lost. She lost me at the fabric store. When she's here to visit next time, take it up with her. Ask her. You know, therapy has helped. I hid out in the bolts of fabric. I thought I needed protected from any bad guys out there. And finally, over the loudspeaker, somebody came on. Would John Pletcher please come to the front? Would the parent of John Pletcher please? Talk to my mother about that. You know, it's actually very endearing when you think about it, that something so down to earth as losing a kid happens with Jesus. What a down to earth thing to happen, even with Jesus. Fast forward, they find him 3 days later in the temple. He's only 12. He's only 12 years old, but he was interacting with the sage teachers, talking theology, thick Q&A. And everybody there with him was amazed. Everyone who heard him, we're told right here, they were stunned. Catch verse 48. His parents didn't know what to think. Here's where it gets mildly humorous. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Moms, have you ever said that about anything? Why have you done this to me? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. And look at Jesus' middle school response. This is so middle school. Verse 49, but why did you need to search? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? Sounds middle school, doesn't it? Verse 50 says, but they didn't understand what he meant. Now, you wouldn't have either in that moment. We do now. We know more of the story. But in that moment, they didn't understand. Verse 51, look at it. Then he returned to Nazareth with them. Verse 51, then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored up all these things in her heart. Jesus grew. Here it is. He's still developing. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Here's the fourth father trait, 100% worthy of our celebrating and emulating. Commit to fulfill all our Heavenly Father's will. Commit to fulfill all our Heavenly Father's will, growing in strength and influence. Commit to fulfill all our Heavenly Father's will, growing in strength and influence. Fabulous fathers fulfill God's word faithfully, daily, weekly. It's worth saying again, there are no dads who are perfect. Only one father who is utterly perfect, your Heavenly Father. All the rest of us, we struggle, we're still growing, we're still in process, but we're aiming for faithfully, daily, weekly, fulfilling God's word. Fabulous fathers lead their family to follow our Heavenly Father's ways. We see this demonstrated incredibly by Joseph and Mary and their holy son, Jesus. Now, don't miss this one very unique dynamic about Joseph's story. And some of you already clued in. Some of you already caught it. But in case you didn't yet, don't miss this one very unique dynamic. Amazingly enough, Joseph does not audibly talk in the Bible stories. Oh, there's some hint at things he might have said. There's some possible implications of some things, but we don't actually get a record of him speaking. No words from Papa Joe. No record of his speech. We never hear his voice. Apparently, he's the quiet dad type. But no doubt about it. No doubt about it. His actions spoke very loud. Dads, your consistent, committed actions speak volumes. Volumes. Next chapter in Luke's account, we read simple clause right here. Luke 3, verse 23. Jesus was known as the son of Joseph. Other gospel passages relate how Joseph was a tecton. It's the old lingo of the day for a businessman into carpentry, masonry, sculpting, woodworking, potentially a broad handyman even, a tecton. So was Jesus. Before starting his public ministry as the itinerant rabbi and miracle worker, Mark 6, verse 3, when that's all starting to explode, the people go, who is this? What, is it, isn't this the tecton, the carpenter? Powerful to consider. Joseph's hardworking, heart all in, hands-on influence, all impacting Jesus, Son of Man, Son of God, in his incarnation, and by ripple through the centuries for us, for you, for me, so that we might know his handiwork on our souls, so that we might know his renewing, his reshaping, his rebuilding, his reforming in us and through us. That incredible, incredible, amazing work of heart that Jesus, by his Spirit, does in us. We celebrate dads centered in King Jesus. We celebrate dads centered in King Jesus. Watch this.